Welcome back, everybody. We always like to have you guys check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else, Don?
On Facebook once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while on Facebook, too, which is pretty cool. Lots of good stuff on the website, interactive. We keep talking about that because it is cool. And you can also find the next person we're going to be talking to. You can find his access and link on our website as well. From Amped Outdoors, the guru, we'll call him Lithium Man, the guy who knows more about batteries than I've ever even wanted to ask. And it's Matt from Amped Outdoors. Matt, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks again. I always appreciate you having me.
And, you know, Matt, when I stopped up to your place last week, the depth, breadth, and wealth of information that you have stored in your brain is amazing, but also the growth that you guys have come through in a number of years here. It's crazy. I mean, the lithium aspect in boating and outdoor recreation is off the charts.
Yeah, you're spot on. We're always expanding, and we got some good news today. We've acquired a little bit more warehouse space, and you know, this year we already ran out of ice fishing product, and the demand is always increasing. We're kind of in that lithium boom right now. People are starting to get it, starting to really feel comfortable using lithium product, and once you have it, it's kind of hard to live without it. So yeah, we're doing everything possible to continue to learn, change the game, and be able to provide as much product as our consumers need.
Well, and you know, when it comes down to lithium, you and I talked a little bit about a lot of the misinformation that's out there, and I kind of want to hit that probably at the top part of this conversation, because a lot of people, lithium, whatever, you know, I can get this, or you know, I can get a battery for $180 or whatever, and it's going to be just fine. And the problem is after looking at what the batteries are and how they're built, I was blown away at the significant difference between batteries and good quality batteries and not good quality batteries. But before we jump to that level, you know, one of the big things out there as far as the myths and people are all concerned, storage. Storage is the big thing. And as soon as people start talking storage, they immediately say, it's too complicated. I don't want to have to buy a battery and then worry about where I'm storing it at as far as the storage capacity. Somebody said, well, you have to store it between 50 and 80% of the total storage. You don't want it. Phil, what's the real story?
Yeah, and yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion out there. You know, people want to read on lithium batteries and how to properly store them. And there's just a ton of information out there, and a lot of it is misleading and confusing because, quite honestly, there's a lot of different lithium technologies out there. I mean, I use lithium in, you know, my cordless drills, my laptops, phone power banks, and then, you know, have them for RC cars. You know, and every technology I talked about there uses a different type of lithium battery. So they all kind of have their, you know, their standards of storage and, you know, how you should, you know, properly charge and store your batteries. And quite honestly, you know, with all that information out there, people just get confused. So lithium batteries storage is quite simple. In fact, it's a lot easier than or less steps required than your traditional lead acid AGM batteries, right?
Yep.
So, you know, your lead acid AGM batteries, I mean, you got to be really careful not to drain them below, you know, a certain depth of discharge. And, you know, that can decrease the life expectancy of them. And you know, you got to make sure you store them on the charger because they lose capacity over time pretty quickly. And you never want, you know, to store, you know, a lead acid battery, you know, depleted or at a lower state of charge. With lithium batteries, I mean, there's no maintenance involved. You don't have to, you know, fill them. You don't have, you know, a whole lot of maintenance there. It's just more so when you're storing a battery, you want to make sure that, and this is if you're going to be storing it for a long period of time. I'm not talking about if you're going to go and use it next week. More so if you're going to be storing it for an off season, like in your boat, you want to store it over the winter. So in that case, you're going to be going maybe 6 months. It's best to have at least a 50% charge on it, 50 to 100% charge on it, and then remove everything from the battery itself. By removing everything from the battery, that just takes everything out of the equation as far as, you know, your fishing electronics or trolling motor can draw power when not in use. So you don't want that to drain your batteries down. So it's a good recommendation, 50 to 100%. And from there, just store it not attached to anything. And so, a lithium battery might lose 2 to 3% charge in a month in storage. So after 6 months, you'll be just fine for it to work the next season.
Okay, so Matt, here's the thing. They say, oh, you don't want to store it full charge. You have to store it off full charge. The point you're making is store it full charge, pull everything off of it. Do not put a trickle charge on it. It's not needed. So realistically, you should be pretty much ready to go when you're putting your boat in, hook your batteries up, and you can hit the water running, right?
Yep, that is absolutely correct.
Perfect. And that's a big thing, Don. I mean, that's one of the questions. People, it's the fallacy.
Well,
it's complicated.
The question
it's
I have,
not.
Is there any harm done if you leave it on a trickle charger over the winter?
Well, I mean, it's harm-wise, you can decrease the life of a battery, of a lithium battery, if you leave it on 100% charge and keep it at 100% charge. Because the lithium battery, after a full charge, likes to rest. And if you don't give it that capability to rest, honestly, the research we've done using high-quality cells, you might lose capacity faster or deplete the life expectancy by leaving a battery at a fully charged state for a very long period of time. And at the fully charged state, meaning that it's on the charger, so the charger just makes sure it stays at 100% charge. If you charge your batteries up, pull them off, and let them rest, honestly, they'll be good to go for you the next, you know, when you need to use them next, as long as there's not something draining the battery down while it is sitting there in rest.
And that happens, the charge happens so fast with them as well. So, I mean, literally, if you're putting it away for fall, you throw the thing on the charger, throw it overnight, unhook it, unhook the other things, and let the battery sit, and you're good to go. And that's about as close as it gets. So it's, I mean, that's about as simple as it gets. What else do you have?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other fallacies out there. And I think one of them, you know, you look at the battery, the actual wiring that's needed to go for, let's say, electronics, and you're looking at hooking some of those things up. What are some of the fallacies there?
Yeah, so I know a lot of times people talk about, you know, like higher voltage, you know, giving you better image quality. And honestly, you know, when it comes to the wiring, make sure that you're using proper marine gate, you know, marine wiring when you're wiring your boat, or bring it to a center that is going to, you know, ensure that you're using the proper wiring. But also using the right gauge wiring. So too many times people are extending the wiring in their boat. Or if you buy a new boat, be honest with you, most boats don't come with adequate wiring that go from the back of your boat to your dash to the front of the boat. I like using companies like ConnectEase, and there are others out there that make pre-made cables. That's what I wired my boat with. It basically ran 8-gauge wire to my dash and split off 3 different 10-gauge wires to go to my graphs, and then 8-gauge to the front of the boat and split it off with 10-gauge. Otherwise, what I tell most people, you know, 10-gauge is adequate from wiring to your battery directly to your electronics if you want a dedicated, you know, wiring for it. Factory boat wiring is oftentimes a lot smaller, and then you can lose voltage from your battery to your electronics, especially the units that draw more power. And that's where people notice issues with image quality. But if you're using adequate wiring, as long as you have a 12.8 volt lithium battery, you're going to get perfect image quality all day long. You know, at least image quality that's not degraded from a lack of voltage if you have the proper wiring. Another piece is ensuring that you have the proper settings and everything to give you the best image quality. But honestly, having adequate wiring is probably the best thing you could do to ensure good performance.
The thing that keeps coming up, you know, there's some guys that say, well, you could do this battery, and I've got an inverter in the battery that you can switch, and you give this amount of voltage to give you a clearer signal. And then there's a whole lot of hoo-ha when it comes to how much other things are you going to do with a battery. Dedicate the battery and have the right voltage come off of it and have it go to your units that you're going to be using the right way.
Yeah, you're seeing some of that. I mean, lithium are becoming so popular, so every every lithium battery company is going to do something different to try and create demand. And, you know, with people, with so many people out there saying higher voltage gives you better quality, which honestly, we've done all the tests on it, running electronics from 12 volts to 30 volts. And honestly, we've never seen a difference. And all your major electronics manufacturers are going to really, you know, tell you the same thing. So yeah, they're creating, you know, like 36 volt batteries with inverters built into them, so you can run your trolling motor and your electronics off the same battery. Honestly, the best thing to do, dedicate your battery specifically for your trolling motor, have an isolated battery just for your electronics. That will give you the best performance out on the water.
So when we look at the new stuff that's out, when it comes to the battery systems, when it comes to charging, when it comes to all of those pieces and parts that are involved with the lithium battery itself, I think one of the most unique things that you see is the capability that you guys have, and a lot of companies do, but you're at the forefront with the apps, the app that you can pull up on Google Play and put it onto your system that you have when you buy a battery. What kind of information? I mean, this is a cool thing for me. I love doing that because it really gives you an idea where you're at with the charge from the comfort of your living room. But how is that really, what does this really tell you when you're looking at the apps that you can put on these things? Because it's pretty extensive.
Yeah, it's really a peace of mind to be able to see and ensure that when you go out, say in the morning, that you have a 100% charge on your battery. That's a good feeling. I mean, you don't want to go out if you've got a special trip plan, go out and then find out that your charger didn't charge your battery, and you go out and you're all excited, and the next thing you know, your battery dies, right? That can really ruin a trip. Or a tournament angler, you know, you want to ensure that, you know, you put everything into place to win that tournament, and you don't want to have to go out and have the unknown of, are my batteries truly charged? Am I going to get a full day on them? And the app will tell you a lot of things like that. So it'll tell you the state of charge. It'll tell you how much power you're drawing. Our app will tell you how much time you have remaining based on, you know, the current draw that you have on it. So it really does give you that peace of mind that you'll be able to make it through your tournament, through the day, and not have to worry about it. And then when you go to plug it in at night, you can see that the battery's charging. And then when you go to use it the next time, you know it's full and ready to go.
You know, Matt, one of the things that Don, I mean, you've been in a situation where you're going up into Canada. You may not be plugging in every night, or you may not have the opportunity to plug in your boat. I think this is going to be something for just the recreational angler that goes into areas. Maybe they don't have a plug-in at their cabin, and now they know that they can leave the boat sit when they know exactly how much is left juice-wise. And, hey, I'm good. We're not going to have to worry about it tonight. We'll check it tomorrow. And, you know, when they have the opportunity, or we need to plan for it in a day or two, I think that'd be good for you.
I mean, I've been in a situation where I've been back in the water, and I have a power pack that you can charge with a solar. So that's sitting on shore charging up all day. When I come in, I can plug into that, and I've never run out of juice yet.
Yeah. Well, it's nice when you actually know what's really happening, which is kind of the cool part for me.
Yes.
So a lot of neat things that are built into the batteries, Matt, which I think is super cool. So let's move to the new. What's going on that's new? What do you guys have that's new coming out and or that you have out?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of things that we've done over, you know, the last 7 to 8 years is just continue to find, you know, ways to advance the technology, not by really adding technology into it, but making it better. So, you know, as, you know, the marine angler in our mind, adding higher level of waterproof ratings to our battery pack just to ensure that, you know, water is not going to be an issue down the road. Or, you know, like this last year, we added heated charging function. So whether you need it or not, if you're, you know, traditionally a lithium battery, you don't charge below freezing. So a lot of them out there, you know, if it's below 32 degrees, you just can't charge it. Well, we put a heated function in our battery pack that'll take power from the charger, heat the battery above freezing, so you can charge it below freezing. And those are just certain things that help really enhance the experience, because there are tournament anglers who will be fishing, you know, in cold weather. There are people who fish on the river system, you know, early spring into really late fall and winter. and it's crucial for them to be able to have power. So, you know, adding those little features to it by and not increasing really the cost of the product to the consumer are things that we've been adding over the last couple of years and has really helped kind of really change the way people use batteries.
Does that happen automatically when if the temperature gets below 32?
Yeah, there are temperature sensors inside of it. So what it does is the battery will not accept the charge if the battery pack's below 32 degrees. It'll activate the heated charging function, so it takes power from your charger, and it's like a little heating blanket internally around the batteries. It'll heat them up, and within, you know, 50 minutes to 30 minutes, they'll be above 32 degrees to where the battery will start accepting a charge.
Matt, we've got 2 minutes, and I have to put this out because this is a big thing for me. Yes, you can pay less for a battery, but you are getting significantly less that is in the battery as far as longevity. And realistically, lithium is the goal that you look at, is you're looking upwards of that, close to that 10-year mark with these batteries. Am I right?
Yeah, a good quality lithium battery, and there are a lot of high-quality brands out there, not just ours, but a good quality battery should last you 10-plus years if taken care of properly. Right now with the lithium boom, you're just seeing a lot of introduction of overseas companies, trade companies bringing product in, offering them at ultra-low prices, and people are really intrigued by that. The downside to it is that there's a reason why they're very inexpensive. There's not a whole lot of rules and regulations in the U.S. for how you can build a lithium battery. There are just guidelines as far as what certifications you need to ship them. So they'll cut corners, put low-quality components, builds, and make them as cheap as possible. And then, of course, you know, they're just popping up by the day. You just have to be careful because, a battery that's not built properly, you're not going to get the life expectancy out of it. It may work great day one and maybe year one, but after that, you start to notice that
degradation.
It doesn't work the same as you first got it. Yep, they degrade faster. And I think the biggest thing is the safety factor. If they're not built with high-quality components and safety's not the first thing in mind, there's a reason why it's a lot less expensive. So take that into consideration when looking and choosing the brand that you're going to put into.
Matt, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate you coming on. Check it out on our site. You can head to The Valley Outdoors. Hit the Amped Outdoors link, and it'll take you right to Matt. It'll be fantastic. The Valley Outdoors, Ava, Don, and myself, we are out, and we are going to have a good time this weekend. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.